be on the leading edge of change. With questionable support for climate action from the federal government for at least the next 4 years, the role of local governments in this movement will become much more important than it has already been. We urge you to do all you possibly can to confront this issue, for it is the greatest one our species has ever known, and your generation is the last that can put us on the right track in time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We do make an exception and applaud for students here. Thank you very much for being here. You know, we do make that exception in part because, frankly, some of the best moments of being on this council for us is what we do hear from students. We heard from students in our budget hearings about the importance of our parks programs. We hear from students about tough issues like bullying. And we hear from students about this issue, the most important of our time. So it's really, for us as policymakers, we get to listen to a lot of adults, but you're a special category, and that's why we give you special treatment. So welcome.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Mimi Rupert.
And I'm Hailey Pivoto.
And we are a part of the inaugural Environmental Justice and Sustainability class at Lincoln High School. Last week, in preparation for this hearing, our class marched down to City Hall to speak with Mayor Charlie Hales and City Commissioners Nick Fish, Amanda Fritz, Steve Novick, and Dan Saltzman. We demonstrated our utmost support for the ban on any new fossil fuel infrastructure through the strongest fossil fuel zoning codes up to date. And in return, we were praised for our student advocacy and direct action. When reflecting on the event later in the day, there was one word that seemed to perfectly sum up our morning: empowering. As students who have been studying climate change in the classroom for 2 years, we were ecstatic when given the incredible opportunity to take direct action and fight for our future and the future of generations to come.
There are a multitude of things you think about when you're young and considering your future: your hopes, dreams, and aspirations, your family and career, and your happiness. And for the most part, young people, these fantasies are filled with optimism and excitement. But for those of my generation and the generations to follow, our futures are burdened with conditions, limitations, and destruction. We can no longer separate our future from the devastating effects of climate change, and so many people are already living this heartbreaking reality. We are lucky enough to live in a developed country with good infrastructure and desirable location, but many are shrouded in ignorance. As if this problem wasn't so bad. But climate change doesn't wait for anyone, and soon it will be our turn to face this devastation. Sadly, by the time our Earth reaches its boiling point, I will be turning around 46 years old. My potential children will be around my age now, and their climate will be completely different than the one I grew up with. They will not have the luxury of experiencing everything our beautiful Earth has to offer, because it will no longer be the planet as we know now.
In light of recent events, this ban is more important now than ever. With a leader who has no intention of addressing the severity of climate change and actually has the intention of setting us many steps back, it is imperative that Portland be at the forefront of this environmental movement and set an example for the rest of our nation. The city of Portland has already been such a pioneer in advocating for change, and this ban solidifies that. By banning all future expansions on fossil fuel storage infrastructure, we are promoting morality, we are promoting justice, and we are promoting a better future. So please consider our lives as the next generation of leaders, the lives of those already suffering, and the lives of those yet to be born when making pivotal decisions such as the one to be made today.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Peter Solinger. I go to Grant High School. Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, we elected our next president. In doing so, we elected a man who believes, among many other things, that climate change is a hoax created by the Chinese, and that because it was snowing in New York, we need global warming. We elected Donald Trump, a man who has refused and will continue to refuse to listen to the science that has been proven over and over again. And in a time like this, we have a tendency to panic, to say, what have we come to, and to walk away from everything we have been fighting for. But we cannot. For it is in these times that we must stand up. And as Hillary Clinton said on Wednesday, please never stop believing that fighting for what's right is worth it. Today we have a historic opportunity to do what's right and to walk the talk. We have the opportunity to show cities around the nation that we can make a difference and that we will continue to fight for our children and our children's children no matter who stands in our way, and that we will live up to the green image that people across our country conjure when they think of Portland. Today, we as Portlanders must take this huge step towards preserving our world for all those that will follow us. We will show everyone that Portland will not back down from leading by example and that we are not afraid to make a difference. I hope that after today, we will be able to look back on what we have done and celebrate this as a historical accomplishment and one that shall not be forgotten. That being said, I believe there are still things we can do to make this an even stronger victory. Let's fix any loopholes that allow for smaller facilities and take out anything allowing for facilities to get 10% larger in exchange for seismic upgrades. We here in Portland should not have to exchange bigger facilities for safer facilities. We need to lead by telling fossil fuel companies that keeping the people of Portland safe is an obligation, not just something they do merely for the sake of creating larger facilities. I hope that today we can honor those who will come after us by showing the world who we are in Portland. I would like to thank the mayor as well as the rest of City Council for leading the way and voting to ensure that Portland is safer and more environmentally friendly, and by showing our nation that despite setbacks, we will continue to fight for what we know is right. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you. More students to come up? A few more? Yes, come on, please. Welcome.
My name is Sophia Smith, and I am 16 years old, meaning I can't vote. I am scared for my future because for the next 2 years, I have little voice in it. I am counting on this city council, who are the voice for our city, to act responsibly to protect my home and protect my generation and those after me. For we are the people who will have to live through the decisions we make today and in the future. 2 days ago, our country elected a president who thinks climate change is a hoax. What does that mean for the future of this earth, as the U.S. is the second largest contributor of fossil fuels and carbon emissions? Having Trump elected, I am not only scared for the basic treatment of all Americans, but I am scared if I will even have a future where I can keep fighting for human equality. We have so much power in our country to lead the way and shape our future. It starts with local governments who have the ability to take a strong position. We are fortunate in that in the Pacific Northwest, we don't see immediate extreme impacts of climate change. But by the time we experience the repercussions, it will be too late. We have to stop thinking about profit and think about all the people in this world who are affected by our actions. We are not asking for a lot, but we need to take a stand and stand firm and allow no expansion or creation of fossil fuel terminals. Our window for stopping global warming is slowly closing, meaning why would we create this resolution if we are going to do less than we can? Instead of doing a second-rate job, which we have done so many countless times in the past, we need to do as much as we possibly can. So all of us have a future I am proud to live in. All we have time for is to take action and to do it right. If we weaken this resolution, time will run out before we have a chance to fix our mistakes. When you were children, did you think about the health of this planet and worry if you were going to have a future? Did you have to stand in front of your government just so your life would be protected? That is what I have to do because my future is being put below the wealth of companies and endangering our planet. As a country, we need to realize the only people we want to help with a decision like this is ourselves. That means we can't weaken our actions. We have to do all that is physically possible. Last year, when the City Council unanimously passed this resolution to create a stronger regulation for fossil fuel companies and no new fossil fuel infrastructure, I was so proud to live in Portland, and I began to feel hopeful for my future. I want to live in a world where I am proud of the actions of our government and what they have taken so I can live a happy, healthy life. That can start here in Portland, Oregon, by standing firm on no new fossil fuel infrastructure or expansions. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Who'd like to be next?
Hello. My name is Shannon Doyle. I'm 12 years old and go to Sunnyside Environmental School. I am here today because it is a human right to have clean air and water. I have grown up in this wonderful city. It's rainy winters and hot summers. It's beautiful masterpieces. The Columbia River Gorge has, in some ways, made me who I am. It taught me how to hike. It taught me how to fall. It taught me what my place is in the world. And most importantly, it taught me how to be myself. The Columbia Gorge has shown me how I am connected to every living thing. That is why we must do everything we can to protect all life. I recently read an article published in The Guardian about the estimated decrease of animal populations. In this article, Damian Carrington states that animal populations plummeted by 58% between 1970 and 2012, with losses on track to reach 67% by 2020. Researchers from World Wildlife Fund and the Zoologic Society of London compiled the report from scientific data. In 4 years, I will be 16 years old. In that time, if we do not decrease our fossil fuel consumption, more than half of our current animal populations will be gone, extinct. Portland, Oregon is leading the nation to clean energy. We have risen together to do so many amazing things. We have dangled from bridges and blockaded Shell's Finica. We have a Portland Climate Action Plan, as well as a Portland Public School Climate Literacy Resolution. Last year, when you voted for no fossil fuel infrastructure, it gave me hope that we would soon meet our city's goal to achieve 40% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030. That means we must follow up and stay strong. We cannot be weak. We cannot have any more fossil fuel infrastructure built. We must not let companies make short-time profit and endanger the lives of residents of Portland and our own Blue Dot Earth. Together, we can say yes to clean air, clean water, and a healthy planet. Thank you for your time and opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Jack Strobel from Sunnyside Environmental School. Fossil fuels are not going to go away on their own. They're like a weed. We need to pull up its roots or it'll never go away. We just can't take out its head and hope it'll leave. It's about time that Portland became independent of fossil fuels. We have a golden opportunity, and we need to use it to better our lives, to improve our city, to say no to new fossil fuel infrastructure. Have you ever been to Los Angeles? There's oil rigs everywhere, even in the city. And worst of all, there's a giant smog cloud that covers the city from all fossil fuel emissions. I don't want that to happen to our beautiful city of Portland. I don't want the Willamette River to be lined with fossil fuel infrastructure. I don't want a cloud of smog to circle over our city. We don't want oil pipelines snaking through Forest Park. And we can't risk it. Just one oil storage silo could break and it would flood into the Willamette, killing thousands of fish. Then it would flush into the Columbia, hurting the already endangered salmon. Then finally flushing into the ocean, blacking our beaches. We don't need another oil spill epidemic. What we need is to say no. We can't resist fossil fuels. We can't switch to renewable energy. We can't install solar, build more windmills, improve our dams. We just have to resist and fight. The people of Portland want this. The men, women, and children of Portland want this. Do it for the people of the city. Together, we can cut out fossil fuels. We can say no. Say no to all the fossil fuels. We are saying no, and so can you.
Thank you all very much. Thank you. Okay. Any other students besides these These, come on up with them if you want. Okay, you may be the batting cleanup for the student team, so welcome.
Hi, my name is Eleanor Wardlaw, and I am 14 years old. As young people in a country currently very divided on such an important topic, we are at times voiceless. Without the ability to vote, it is easy to be left out of the political process. That said, we are the generation that will be the most impacted by decisions like these. Prohibiting fossil fuel expansion and standing up to the corporate greed that drives climate change deniers sets a vital precedent for the rest of the country. At a time in politics where many governmental leaders refuse to acknowledge the effect humans have on climate change and greenhouse gas emissions, it is now more than ever extremely important to take action on this delicate and time-sensitive issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello. My name is Hannah Witcher, and I'm 15 and a freshman at Grant High School. The Republican Congress and the president-elect have made it very clear that they do not view climate change as the important topic and the threat that it is to today's world. If they will not act, it is our duty to. If we can make a difference, we must. We should not value the life, health, and safety of the people in our community as lower than the chance of a company to make a profit. We need to say that oil companies and fossil fuels are a bad thing, and that they are a huge risk to our environment, both the actual oil and the carbon dioxide that they produce. The global warming is a huge issue, and if we can make a difference, we must. We have to fight for our future before it is gone. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hi. Hi, my name is Lily Mason.
And I'm Olivia Magritte, and we are students from Sunnyside Environmental School.
Last year, three of our fellow friends and students came here to testify against any future fossil fuel infrastructure development in the Portland area. The council unanimously approved this resolution and promised to enforce it. This felt like such a breakthrough and start of a healthier community. But now we feel cheated. With these proposed rules, new infrastructure with under 2 million gallons of fuel would be accepted. This would allow more greenhouse gases to be admitted into our atmosphere, which is harmful to everyone, everywhere, and there's no way we can ignore that. We also know that any new fossil fuel infrastructure that would be built, no matter what size, would be here for at least 20 years or more, and we don't have time for that. The fossil fuel industry has known for decades about global warming, and we don't understand why they should be rewarded for destroying our planet.
Right now, Portland has a chance to prohibit all new fossil fuel terminals and require our existing facilities to make seismic safety improvements without expanding. As 13-year-olds, this really matters to us. Our planet is in serious trouble. Humans are killing the Earth and each other. As you know, all fossil fuels emit greenhouse gases and other harmful pollutants when burned. These emissions lead to serious, universal, and irreversible consequences. We are already beginning to see the impacts climate change has on our way of life. Polar ice sheets and glaciers are melting, resulting in rising seas. Temperatures are increasing, and many plant animal species are at risk of extinction. It is our responsibility to do something to fix this. Building more fossil fuel facilities is not the answer and bypasses all progress our city has made to break free from fossil fuel dependence.
Our dream is that someday Portland will be able to run on almost all renewable energy. We can only accomplish this if we stand up for what we believe in and protect the place that we call home. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, I told you they'd be a hard act to follow. I cannot imagine a more of a contrast between the disheartening insanity of this week and the hopeful leadership that we see from young people in this community. Let's hear it for our students.
Before you go, students.
Before you go, students.
Please. As we learned that we are not allowed to just require the tanks to become seismically upgraded. So we're going to need your help to go down to the legislature in the new year to get that changed. We're having... So in 10 days' time, on December 1st, we're going to be holding a legislative agenda advocacy training at the city, and it's going to be at Table Space on Southeast Belmont. It's from 6 to 8, and you'd be very welcome to come so that we can help you prepare for making your case to the legislature, because I hope you do just what you did now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, may I add another special request to the students? The fight against climate change takes many forms. And we here at the council are going to take up an issue soon, which relates very much, which is to what extent do we require new parking to be built with new residences? And when we require new parking spots to be built, then that continues to build society around the car, which encourages people to keep on driving and releasing carbon. So I hope that you will turn out to encourage this council to reduce parking minimums as part of the effort against climate change.
Thank all these so opportunities for activism.
And just one more thing. Commissioner Novick calls it climate disruption, which I think is much clearer than climate change. Climate change is having a 70-degree day on November 10th here in Portland, Oregon. It's nice if you happen to like walking outside without a coat, but it's just not right. So we've got to all be very focused on, I think, the language that we use and the way that we use it, so we're all working together in a way that we can. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay. Like I said, it's going to be a hard act to follow, so we're going to move to the sign-up sheet. And if you are here and you have a disability or if you have some childcare needs and want to get early in the queue, just come to our council clerk as we proceed, and we'll scroll you in early in the process. But let's go to the sheet, and then folks that need to indicate that can come let you know, Carla.
We'll have a total
some
list.
Some of these folks may have been called because they might have been students. So we'll
I think I've got them off the list.
Okay.
And I have a remaining 54 total testifiers. Let's go ahead with the first three will be Gregory Monahan, Marilyn Sewell, and Mia Reback. That's 1, 2, and 3 on the first list. And then we'll go with Rob Mathers, Ellen Wax, and David Kahns on the second list, 1, 2, and 3.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Gregory Monahan. I'm here in my capacity as the chair of the Beyond Gas and Oil team for the Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Sierra Club. The Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club supports an implementation of the fossil fuel infrastructure policy, which does not allow for any expansion of bulk fossil fuel terminals. It is clear to anyone who understands science or who is willing to look dispassionately at the evidence that climate change is real and that its effects are evident today. It is also clear that the consequences of ignoring greenhouse gas emissions will lead to a future in which the lives of our children and grandchildren will be very difficult. The results of the recent elections also make it clear that we cannot rely upon our national leaders to solve this problem for us. Leadership will have to come from the bottom up, starting right here in our city. The United Nations just released a report on the emissions gap. That is the difference between the amount of greenhouse gas emissions needed to keep the temperature of the world from rising beyond 1.5 degrees Celsius and the amount we are currently emitting. The news is not good. In short, we need to radically reduce the amount of fossil fuels we are using, and we need to begin doing so now. Additionally, the staff report of the Planning and Sustainability Commission makes it clear that overall demand for fossil fuels is already flat. It is reasonable to expect a decline as more electric vehicles are put into service. There is absolutely no rational basis for expanding fossil fuel infrastructure. Nowhere in the language of the resolution that you passed last year, about a year ago, does it list exemptions which allow for the expansion of the described infrastructure. In light of what we know about our climate and our national policies, it is imperative that we do not continue to expand fossil fuel infrastructure. Therefore, the Sierra Club urges you to modify the language of the proposed ordinance to eliminate the 2 million gallon minimum and to eliminate the allowed expansion for seismic upgrades. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Sewell, and I am the Minister Emerita of the First Unitarian Church, and I just have to say that hearing those young people just broke my heart, So beautiful. This council, led by Mayor Charlie Hales, has passed the strongest land use code in the country, prohibiting all new infrastructure for fossil fuel export. Look at this picture. I think you will remember this incident.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Tiny kayaktivist and Greenpeace activist hanging from the St. John's Bridge. They stopped Shell's massive icebreaker for 48 hours, and pictures like this went around the world. Then through our emissary, Mayor Hales, once more our witness went around the world, to the Pope, to President Obama. And now again, the whole world is watching. In light of this election, what will happen to the climate movement? Do not think that what happens in this city council today is unimportant or a little thing. And of course, on November 17, we are important to the larger world. We know that the rest of the country watches what Portland does in many arenas, and certainly in regard to climate. And so we are here today not just to testify, but to witness. Now, I'm using religious language because this is truly the greatest moral issue of our day, or one might say of any day. We will all be accountable as moral agents if we fail to keep fossil fuel in the ground, all of it. The temptation always, always is to accommodate to power, but rather we must speak truth to power. In the words of that wonderful Spike Lee movie, do the right thing. It's in your hands. Do the right thing.
Thank you, Marilyn. You're wonderful. Speaking of people that had something to do with the Fenneca, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Hale, City Council, thank you for considering today's amendments to prohibit bulk fossil fuel terminals. My name is Mia Reback, and I am one of the staff organizers with 350 PDX. Almost exactly a year ago, we came before the City Council, and when we passed the city's opposition to new fossil fuel infrastructure in our city or adjacent waterways. And when we did that, we said no to the long-term investments that lock us into polluting carbon emissions for decades to come, preventing any hope of meeting our carbon goals and our climate goals. When talking about new fossil fuel infrastructure, we're not talking about the next few years of fuel use. We're talking about the next 5 decades and the long-term course we as a city and planet will take. Now is our chance to turn that resolution into binding land use law by changing our city code, sending a signal around the world and to our fossil fuel industry here that we are protecting our people, our land, our water, and climate. Just last week, the Paris Climate Agreement went into effect, stating that world leaders are committed to keeping global warming between 1.5 and 2 degrees Celsius. But a recent study by Oil Change International, aptly titled The Sky's Limit, found that the committed emissions of our existing fossil fuel infrastructure alone will blow us past 2 degrees Celsius. The principal finding of that study, which I think to some is quite depressing, to me is very hopeful. They found that in order to keep within these globally agreed upon limits, we must build no new fossil fuel infrastructure. Not some, none. No coal, no oil, no gas. And that governments who are prepared to move away from existing fossil fuels have to begin that managed decline immediately. Fossil fuels aren't going to go away overnight, but the actions we take today will dictate the future course of where they go. I encourage the City Council to pass bolder versions of the Fossil Fuel Terminal Zoning Code amendments. We should not be trading our safety for increased fossil fuel facilities. I encourage you to get rid of the allowance for 10% expansions and to look into further restrictions on small terminals in addition to prohibiting bulk fossil fuel facilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, let's take the next three, please.
Are Rob Mathers, Ellen Wax, and David Kahns. And they'll be followed by Nick Caleb, Alan Smith, and Dick Harmon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Ron Mathers, and I am not a climate disruption denier. And I feel like we have been invited to a barbecue and we're on the menu. We are opposed to the fossil fuel terminal zoning amendments, and there's two principal reasons. I was going to go into the bottleneck reason first. In order to use renewable fuels, they have to be blended with conventional fuels, at least in the foreseeable future. And if there's a bottleneck created, and if volumes have to be trucked in to the region or the state from outside the region or state, then that is just the opposite of where you want to go with limiting greenhouse gas emissions and carbon emissions. With respect to the seismic resiliency issue, we feel that this will lead to disinvestment in the bulk fossil fuel terminals, which will result in no improvements to seismic resiliency. My company, Kinder Morgan, and I'm here representing both the Working Waterfront Coalition today and Kinder Morgan. I mean, our core values are to operate safely and compliantly and reliably. And we rebuilt a tank in Linton. We increased the capacity by 30%, but that's what it took to justify the investment. And in Wheelbridge, we increased our capacity, our overall capacity, by about 23%, which is seismically resilient now, as is the tank in Linton, such that what it took, a 20% increase in the capacity there at Wheelbridge to justify that investment. So we feel that Portland is not an island, and that instead of being visionary and exemplary, that these land use restrictions and zoning changes are actually short-sighted and very self-centered. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Could I just ask you a question?
Yes.
You saw the Northwest Natural, the gas explosion in Northwest.
Yes.
And so wouldn't your tanks that aren't seismically stable, if there was an earthquake, wouldn't they produce an explosion many times more than that?
I don't know if there would be an explosion. I don't know if there would be release. It could possibly happen, yes.
So is your company not worried about liability in that instance?
Yes, we are.
So I think the reason for and we'll talk about this some more, the reason for the 10% allowance was we would hope that people would basically try to take market share from somebody else and within the existing capacity by building a seismically resistant tank. And we could maybe do that with a zero rather than a 10% allowance, but I'm saying our hope would be that companies that are worried about liability or have old tanks could in effect take that capacity from their competitors by building a safe one. And we're not sure if we calibrated that right. You said these last two expansions you did were 20 or 30%.
That's correct.
That was what was necessary. You weren't necessarily taking market share. Well, maybe you were, given that demand is flat.
No,
you're taking market share from somebody else.
But there has been. I mean, last year, gasoline rose 2%. Natural gas demand countrywide rose 3%. There probably are going to be more vehicle miles traveled here.
They're actually going down here. We were happy about that.
Yeah.
They're going down
in the metro. Maybe we need to check the latest statistics on that.
Yeah.
But
okay. Well, right. Appreciate that.
So you're saying that the 10% increase isn't going to foster any change?
No, that is correct. It's going to not foster change, and it's going to lead to disinvestment, and it's going to lead to these facilities being stranded. And if that's what your intention is, you will achieve that goal.
So, Mayor, I think you put that forward as an incentive. If it's not, then I think we should have a discussion about whether we need it or not.
Right. Okay, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. Thank you for having me and the opportunity to provide comments on these zoning amendments. My name is David Koontz, and I work for Tidewater Barge Lines. We're a tug and barge company headquartered in the Pacific Northwest and employ approximately 275 people. Tidewater has been in business since 1932 and is the largest inland marine transportation company west of the Mississippi River, with 16 tugboats, 170 barges, and 5 marine terminals. Tidewater's vessels help move millions of tons of freight every year on the Pacific Northwest waterways, reducing congestion on the state's highways and railroads while producing far fewer pollutants and carbon emissions than trucks and trains transporting equivalent tonnage. Likewise, our industry statistics and safety record show that the towing industry in the Pacific Northwest has one of the best programs for moving commodities securely and safely in our region. We have reviewed the proposed zoning changes that are concerned. These will restrict economic development in the Pacific Northwest. We feel energy terminals can be built, expanded, and operated safely in the city of Portland. These terminals have the ability to create positive economic impact and support new and existing family wage jobs in our region. And the other thing we wanted to bring from our perspective as a waterway user is that these may have unintended environmental consequences looking at the big picture. These changes would create uncertainty about these terminals' existence, and to Rob's points earlier about them being stranded on an island, if they go away, they're key to the fuel supply network of our region and the eastern sides of Oregon and Washington. For example, barging supplies about 50% of the fuel that's consumed in the Tri-Cities area. And barging also, a four-barge configuration is usually how they're transported, takes about 538 trucks off the road and 140 rail cars off the road. So if the terminals go away and the demand still is there, even if it's flat or slightly decreasing, they're still going to need their fuel, and it's going to go through other methods. So that's, for every barge load that goes, that's a potential of 538 trucks or 140 rail cars traveling along the Columbia River Gorge. So in conclusion, Tidewater is an advocate for environmental stewardship and hopes the City of Portland will consider a constructive dialogue with us and other stakeholders to generate an implemental fossil fuel distribution policy that addresses climate change, public safety, and environmental protection without significantly adversely impacting the viability of Oregon's economy and its waterfront industry. Thank you for the consideration and the time to share our viewpoint.
Thank you very much. Ellen, welcome.
Hi. Ellen Wax with the Working Waterfront Coalition. The Working Waterfront Coalition supports the intent for seismic safety and improvements and emission reduction. We do not believe this is a tool that will achieve the goal. We have concern about the unintended consequences for seismic upgrades resulting in disincentives. The Working Waterfront Coalition has submitted a letter of testimony to the record, and for the record, the WWC thinks there is an ambiguity in the Planning Commission's recommendation specific to the storage structures definition. It's not clear whether the limits on growth relate only to fossil fuel storage tanks or whether the limits on growth relate to pipes and other fossil fuel facilities associated with existing terminals. It is our understanding from discussion with city staff that the city's intent is to limit growth related to the existing storage tank capacity, and it does not intend to limit growth related to pipes and other fossil fuel facilities and infrastructure. We have submitted to the record clarifying amendments that address this issue by specifically stating fossil fuel storage tanks in the language. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take the next three, please.
Are Nick Caleb, Alan Smith, and Dick Harmon? And they'll be followed by Lightning Watchdog PDX, Adam Smith, and Sarah Taylor.
Welcome.
Everybody. Greetings.
Go ahead, Nick.
I dressed up for you today. I think last year I was here, I was in a red T-shirt. I got a new shirt since then, that's red. So. My name is Nicholas Caleb. I'm the staff attorney for Neighbors for Clean Air. I'm a professor at Concordia University. Today I'm delivering testimony on behalf of the Center for Sustainable Economy, and my boss, Mary Pivito, I think is going to give testimony for NCA in a little bit. So last November, after a year of wild action and debate about our role in the regional and global climate action, we passed the Fossil Fuel Infrastructure Resolution. It was a huge milestone. We did this because fossil fuels pose health and safety risks to Portlanders and pretty much everywhere across the site of extraction, through transport, and when we combust these fuels. Since this time, as has been mentioned, actually even far more eloquently than I can by youth today. The threats have become more severe, both political and scientific. And not only have the threats become more severe, but the city of Portland has actually taken its fight outside of the city boundaries as well. And so we've become involved in regulatory processes with regard to oil trains. We've also submitted resolutions in support of the Standing Rock blockade of fossil fuel infrastructure. And so our cards are on the table. We're committed to this as a matter of policy, and now it's just a time to tie the bow on top of it. Having said that, I think we can still improve the policy in front of us. I think the dialogue that we just heard was very useful in understanding a key point of this, whether allowing for a 10% increase in existing capacity is going to actually serve as an adequate sweetener for investment. Representatives of an international fossil fuel company just told you that it won't. So I think we should believe them. But the option isn't to allow 30% upgrades. We're not going to do that. And so I think what is in front of us is that we knock down that cap on existing infrastructure, we draw a strong line in the sand, and we move forward from there into a renewable energy economy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome. Who'd like to go next?
My name is Alan Smith, and I'm a Portland resident. Natural gas is not a clean fuel. Saying it's clean because burning it is less carbon intensive than the fuel it replaces is like saying smoking tobacco is healthy because it won't kill you as quickly as smoking opiates. Over a 20-year period, methane is 84 times more powerful than CO2 as a greenhouse gas, and fugitive emissions have increased more than 30% above EPA's estimate over the last decade. One scientist has said this is almost certainly due to fracking. According to the IPCC, 40 to 70% of species would be doomed to extinction by global warming of 3.5 degrees Celsius. Climate change is estimated to kill 400,000 people per year already, and the number is projected to exceed 600,000 by 2030. Billions of people migrating to avoid starvation from drought would cause chaos around the world. To have a 66% chance of keeping global warming below 2 degrees Celsius, 68%, over two-thirds, of the proven reserves must remain in the ground. The fuel terminal representatives claim these amendments are emotionally driven. This is a false argument and an arrogant one at that. It's also an example of attacking your opponent's character when you can't win the debate with rational arguments. It's true the dire warnings we hear from the scientific community stir emotion, especially when we hear that the damage to life on Earth is proceeding faster than predicted. But we should all remember that it's not just local jobs or lives that matter, and there are no good jobs on a dead planet. I urge you to eliminate the allowance of a 10% expansion of existing terminals and support the recommendation of pursuing seismic safety through building code changes at the state level. Since the recommended draft was written, Jack's LNG announced plans for a 2 million gallon facility in... In Jacksonville, Florida, intended to supply bunker barges for distribution on the East Coast. The 2 million gallon threshold should be also limited so that facilities like that can't be built in Portland. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Dick Harmon. I live in Portland. I'm 80. I'm here as father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. I support 350's position on the ordinance, and I want to thank the council, especially Mayor Hales, for stepping firmly into our new reality. We have run out of time on climate. So the small adjustments as incentives is offensive. It is deeply offensive. We don't have time for that kind of stuff. We have, in my view, just been threatened by disinvestment. My reaction to that is, let them disinvest. Let them reinvest by making up for the increase in demand, by changing their business plan to invest in renewables and deep conservation. The other question here at root, in my view, listening to this, is we have a liquid fuels catastrophe coming at us. So the mobilization of the people and the institutions of Portland to electrify transportation is critical. It's stupid that we're in this argument over the safety of these tanks. Cut the liquid and go to electrification of transportation. We will back you if you lead on this thing. It's going to take big money. We can raise that money as a community to invest in that kind of electricity. We can negotiate with Detroit to speed up the entry of electric vehicles as a body of people. So we don't have to take this stuff that the fossil fuel guys are saying. I guess my last point is, it's about the children. And I can't say it any better than the kids did. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The next three are Lightning, Watchdog PDX, Adam Smith, and I'm sorry, I skipped number seven, Bonnie McKinley. You're in this group. I hear it's Lightning, Adam Smith, and Bonnie McKinley. Okay, Bonnie, thank you. And after them, our next was Rhea Sally, number 17, number 20, Paul Spindle, and 21, Doris Weller.
There's a little button on the base of that microphone. Just push it, and it'll light up. There you go.
I go to garage sales.
Oh,
I
put your name in the record. I'm sorry. Just put your name in the record first. Sorry.
Oh, Bonnie McKinley.
Thank you.
I go to garage sales. I sit upon my voyages as a garage saler in the 1970s. One Saturday in that long past decade, I was garage sailing through southeast Portland. One sale stood out for its remarkable treasure trove of cheap, cool stuff. I asked the couple why they were selling their precious belongings for so little. They explained that they were being forced to leave their neighborhood. They had to clear out fast. Holding this garage sale was just a small piece of the larger preparations to leave their home of 50 years. Why? They had been penciled out of their longtime neighborhood. Their homes and hundreds of others lie in the path of eight lanes of zooming vehicles, the proposed Mount Hood Freeway. The plan was to have east to west freeways rolled out in the southeast Powell Division neighborhoods. To the north and south, additional freeways would plow through the Prescott and Selwood neighborhoods. Federal funds were in place. This thing was happening. Except, as you may have noticed, Portland still has those sweet, tree-blessed neighborhoods. The city of Portland changed course. It used its brains and heart and traded a foul-smelling freeway for a planning prize that continues to impress the nation. Light rail, R-Max lines. Things can change for good. Policies, city leadership, economic viabilities, and public sentiment can change and make sense for the good of residents and for the environment. We can use our brains. We still have hearts. Let's use them when considering the perpetuation of fossil fuel infrastructure. No new climate bashing projects. We will work for energy conservation and renewable energy and for all the employment they can bring to our city. City of Portland, commissioners, people, impress the nation again. This time with a glorious, robust, visionary fossil fuel infrastructure resolution.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Sarah Taylor, and I'm here to talk to you about the past and current and future effect of fossil fuels on newborn and maternal health in the United States, in particular to premature babies. I live in Lytton. I live in a place of two rivers, of lakes, of wetlands, and forest park. I live in the historic Lytton community that was annexed by the city of Portland in 1915 for what looks like the sole purpose of turning a river community into a fossil fuel and Superfund site.
In 1962, the state of Oregon bulldozed Linton to make way for more fossil fuel infrastructure. Our small community has asked for a riverfront piece of land so we could rebuild, and year after year, this city council has denied a small park, a small piece of the river, so that the fossil fuel community can continue to take over that river community. But today, I am here as a midwife in North Portland. I have delivered over 2,000 babies, most of them in your city. I am here to share that the impact of the fossil fuel industry on the unborn children of our community is devastating. Right now, the United States is 36th in maternal and newborn health. This is largely because of environmental factors. African American and Native American babies are 2.5 times more likely to die in the first year of their life, and it is increasingly obvious that this is because of fossil fuels. We live not just downstream, we live up and down a pipeline. I'm from Pennsylvania, where there is fracking. John Hopkins University did a study. Babies born where there is fracking, where our oil will come from, are dying. They are costing money. They have huge medical bills. They have lifelong challenges. That oil is coming through a pipeline at the expense of unborn babies. The fossil fuel fumes destroy women's estrogen. Read the science. I will give you the studies. So you are not just destroying one baby's life by making it be born premature. You are destroying its genetic makeup. You know the fish in that river are in trouble. The mothers on the banks of that river in my North Portland community are in trouble. It is not because of poverty. It is not that our students in North Portland cannot learn. It's because we have polluted their rivers, their air, their soil, their mothers' uteruses, their wombs. So that is downriver in Pennsylvania where the fracking is happening. In North Portland, you know that you just failed to agree to clean up the Superfund sites, 16 of them, and now you are saying that you are going to increase the hazard for North Portland children. I also worked in Haiti.
I want to ask you to wrap up and let you go over a little bit, because this is a new point about
this. I just want to tell you, downpipe, I've worked in Haiti for the last 5 years. I've watched hundreds of babies die. So what you do here impacts North Portland, the fracking babies, and the babies on the other end. And I ask you to think about the babies when you make that decision.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
The next three are 17, 20, and 21, Rhea Sally, Paul Spindle, and Doris Weller. And they'll be followed by 22, 23, and 24, Rob Lee, Eileen Fromer, and Deborah Romerain.
Welcome. Come on in.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for giving us, all of us, the opportunity to speak with you today. I support a full ban.
Oh, just give us your name first.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Kind of new to this. My name is Ryan Salee. Thank you. Thanks again for giving us this opportunity. I support a full ban on all new fossil fuel terminals, large and small, and ask you to eliminate the exception for projects below 2 million gallons. Additionally, I understand that there are other mechanisms to encourage seismic upgrades, and to the extent that those can be employed, I support them over a 10% increase in capacity at existing terminals. As if climate disruption alone were not enough, derailments in Mosier and elsewhere have given us a multitude of reasons to ask that the City of Portland create policy that reduces oil train traffic through our precious Columbia River Gorge, not increase it. Climate change is the most pressing issue we face globally, and we cannot allow short-term corporate profit gain to trump the health of our people, the safety of our communities, and the environmental viability of this region. The City of Portland has the incredible opportunity and, I believe, responsibility to continue to lead the way for other cities to follow. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Mayor Hales and commissioners, my name is Doris Weller, and I'm here as a very concerned citizen and a Lenten resident. With our country about to be taken over by a man who has vowed to reverse environmental laws and dismantle EPA, now is the time to stand up boldly to the fossil fuel industries to stop kowtowing to big oil interests who are trying to make the city back down on this historic ordinance, when actually there's a need to expand on this ordinance to assure safety. The Cascadia earthquake, along with other fault lines, make the location where the tank farms are located the worst possible place. Natural hazards are not the only problem that will result in environmental catastrophes of epic proportions. In the last few years, we have had three near misses due to accidents that would have achieved the same disastrous results. Do not exempt Northwest Natural from fossil fuel amendments. Many small tanks can quickly add up to a large storage facility. Goal 7 of Oregon Land Use Law states that cities must or should pass zoning laws where hazards cannot be mitigated. CERCLA law requires responsibility. Make sure that insurance or assurance bond coverage is enough to include not only the environmental cost of destruction and cleanup, but also the loss of life and property. And if fossil fuel industries will not or cannot acquire such insurance, then they should be required to move to safer ground. Make the tank farms move if they will not upgrade seismically to the highest standards needed. Do not allow storage of railroad cars filled with hazardous materials to be stored in this area, sometimes for days on end. This amounts to mobile storage of fossil fuels. The dangers are greatly increased by railroad switching that takes place in the Linton-Wilbridge area, and there are many uncontrolled railroad intercrossings in Linton with tanker trucks loaded with volatile fuels crossing over them. Taxpayers, neighborhoods, families, the environment should not have to bear the consequences and costs of fossil fuel industries that favor profits over people. For all your constituents, don't back down on the original ordinance of no new expansion. Make a bold statement. Protect us.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Okay.
Next three are Rob Lee, Eileen Fromer, and Deborah Romerain. And they'll be followed by 25, 26, and 27, Dr. Theodora Songas, Julie Chapman, and Mary Vogel.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Eileen Fromer. Mayor Hales, commissioners, thank you. Climate change and greenhouse gas emissions will not stop because President-elect Donald Trump is coming to the White House. This city must remain committed to transitioning to clean energy and to meet its 2050 carbon reduction goals. Every step we take as a community to keep fossil fuels in the ground and transition to sustainable energy is essential to stop global warming and the catastrophes it brings to life on Earth. Portland has the opportunity to be an example of how communities can come together and get it done. Do not accept the 10% expansion of fossil fuel infrastructures tied to seismic upgrades. That's like getting married and saying, well, I'm only married for 5 days a week. That expansion is not necessary to achieve the seismic upgrades and is obviously a sneaky backdoor way to allow fossil fuel expansion.
Seismic resilience and upgrades are important and necessary to achieve as soon as possible for at-risk fossil fuel storage tanks. However, there is no reason to tie this to the expansion of current fossil fuel facilities. Specifically, I encourage you to remove the words plus 10% from page 49 of the PSC's recommendation.